But first, a petition calling for the mandatory reporting of child abuse has been presented to the House of Commons by the MP for Chesham and Amersham, Cheryl Gillam. She presented it on behalf of over 200,000 people and one of her constituents, Tom Perry, who was behind the petition and is the founder of the pressure group Mandate Now. Well, we are going to be talking to Tom after eight, but first of all, let's now talk to Peter Saunders. He's from NAPAC, the National Association of People Abused in Childhood. Peter, good morning to you.
Good morning, Justin. Good morning.
Thanks for your time. So what do you think of what Mandate Now are trying to achieve here, Peter?
Well, the introduction of mandatory reporting, as described by Cheryl Gillan in the House of Commons for regulated activities, is a complete and utter no-brainer as far as most survivors of childhood abuse and people who know anything about child protection is concerned. Of course we should have had mandatory reporting introduced a long, long time ago, and let me give you a reason why. Mm. Only a few months ago, somebody said to me, referring to my school that I attended over 40 years ago, "Oh, everybody knew Father so-and-so was a child abuser." And I said, "Oh, my God, are you serious?" And she said, "Oh, yes, everybody knew," meaning, because this was a person married to a teacher at that school. That means that that man who abused me, who abused my brother, and God knows how many other children he abused, got away with it because everybody knew, but nobody said a word. That is criminal. And this piece of legislation is a very important step in filling this incredibly strange gap. And the arguments against mandatory reporting, none of which I have found to be have any kind of sense whatsoever, but it's akin to something else, which is, I'm old enough to remember the introduction of mandatory wearing of seatbelts. You're probably not, Justin, fortunately. Mm. But I remember the arguments. And I remember one argument against seatbelts was, well, sometimes when you have a crash, wearing a seatbelt may actually injure you.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Exactly. This was an argument that was put forward because in some cases, you know, one in a million, wearing a seatbelt in a serious accident may actually cause you more harm than if you didn't wear a seatbelt. Yeah. But it was like the one in a million against the absolute necessity to protect ourselves by wearing seatbelts. And of course, wearing seatbelts has saved millions, well, certainly hundreds of thousands of lives over the years. If we'd had mandatory reporting a long, long time ago, lots of people who would call NAPAC every day on our free phone helpline would not be calling because they would not have been abused, because the perpetrators would have been identified, apprehended, and likely put where they belong behind bars. Mm.
So this petition, over 200,000 people have signed it. So it's the first step to making this an offence if you do not report suspected child abuse. But in reality, in practice, how would something like this actually work?
Well, again, it's very simple, and you're going to speak to Tom Perry, and I can think of nobody who will describe better the situation and the way in which the legislation will work, because Tom Perry has been working at this for years, and massive credit to him and to the hundreds of thousands of people that have signed this petition. But it's really quite simple. As Cheryl Gillan said in the House of Commons, if you suspect, know, or have reasonable reason to believe that a child is being abused in a situation of regulated activities, that's a school, a scout group, somewhere where our children are being looked after, and you fail to report it, and that comes to light, then you have committed a criminal offence.
Yeah.
Now, I don't actually think that the legislation will, in some ways, change the way... I mean, most decent people will report anyway, Justin.
You'd hope so. You would hope so, but you still know there are people out there who would protect others.
Absolutely, and they have to know that by doing that, if they do that, if God forbid they dare to do that, they will face years in prison, and that is absolutely essential. So it's almost about a sort of cultural change, if you like, that we simply do not accept that because we like Mr. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so, and we've spotted them doing something very inappropriate with one of their young charges, we don't blow the whistle. And, of course, we also have a history again, a dreadful history of denigrating whistleblowers in this country, when in fact whistleblowers often are the real heroes of the situation.
How would the police prove something like this? And Peter, I have to say, talking to you, you're a fascinating guy to talk to, so I'm sure you're going to give me an interesting answer on this, but how would the police prove something like this? How can you... I don't know. But let's just say somebody knows something. It was a conversation that somebody had whilst in, I don't know, walking down the corridor at work, OK? A conversation about somebody, and they know that potentially there is somebody who is abusing a child. How is the police, and how are the police, going to prove that conversation actually happened and that person knew something? How would that work?
Again, I would refer you to the esteemed and highly articulate Tom Perry, who will explain perfectly well how the police will make it work. As I say, I don't envisage suddenly, although one of the spurious arguments against mandatory reporting is that there will be a massive hike in reports of abuse. Now, that could, in theory, happen, and it has happened in places in the world where it's been introduced. But that is one of the consequences, because we know just how prevalent child abuse is. So there would inevitably, but in the same way, Justin, that when seatbelts were introduced, when banning on using mobile phone, I cycle to work some days in London, and I still see people driving along, reading something and having their mobile phone to their ear. I don't see the police kind of at every junction monitoring them. So the police aren't going to suddenly be running into schools and other places here, there and everywhere. But it's just an important step to say to everybody who is charged with, as I said, looking after our children, that if abuse comes to light, you must report it, or there will be consequences, because at the moment there are no consequences other than for the poor children who are being raped, abused, tortured.
Just lastly, can I go back to...
I avoided that one nicely, didn't I, John?
No, it was a good answer. Can I just go back lastly to yourself? And if you don't want to talk about it, it's absolutely fine. Please tell me where to go. But just tell me again briefly what happened to you. You mentioned it at the start. Can you just go into a bit more detail for me?
I obviously this time of the morning I would go into nothing graphic, because you'll have young people as well as adults listening. I run NAPAC. We have a free phone helpline. We've run a support group in your area recently. We've got another one going soon. I was abused as a child. I was abused by a family member. I was abused by two Catholic priests at the school I attended. I never told a soul, but as I said, only a few months ago, somebody connected to one of the teachers at my school, actually married to one of the teachers at my school, said, "Oh, Peter, everybody knew Father so-and-so
and you,
an abuser, and nobody did anything about it."
You are living with that every single day. So if ever there was a case study that said, look, if you know something, you've got to make that phone call, it's that, because your life has not been the same, and somebody knew what was going on and they did absolutely nothing, which is disgusting, absolutely disgusting.
It is. And, child abuse is the... I mean, we've been talking about ISIL and these dreadful atrocities in Paris and stuff, which is absolutely awful. But the biggest threat to our country and to our children in this country remains childhood abuse of all forms, not just sexual abuse, but all forms of abuse. And we've simply got to do something about it. And one thing that we can do, and the one thing I've been doing for 20 years, apart from set the charity up, is to speak out about it, because abusers do not want us to have this conversation, Justin. So, credit to the BBC once again for airing this vital, vital subject, because many of your listeners will both be survivors, but they will also be parents and grandparents, and of course there will be perpetrators listening in, and they need to know that they're not going to get away with it in the future.
Peter, top man, thank you so much for your time. Keep up the great work. Really appreciate
it. Have a good weekend, Justin.
Thank you. That was Peter Saunders joining us live there from the National Association of People Abused in Childhood. I mean, we could talk about this all morning, but I don't think you can actually disagree with anything that Peter said there.